Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey, BE community.
Happy Saturday.
We are back. And y'all, the Kingdom Couples series continues. We got a good one. So I'm excited to dive in. But first, how is everyone doing?
We're good. I thought y'all was talking to yourself.
We're good. It's a free for all. So okay, how are you doing?
Cool. How are you doing? We are good.
All right, cool.
Yeah, we're great.
I love it. And Toya, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I feel like I'm recovering from the Black History event that I put on called Ode to Tulsa.
Well, we're going to dive on in, y'all. We're going to introduce as if an introduction is needed. I mean, you see, we got Kelly and Natasha Cole in the building, but I'm going to formally read their bio for those of you that may or may not know who they are. And we're going to jump on in. Okay. So Kelly and Natasha were teenage parents who married in their 20s, got divorced in their 30s, and then found their way remarried to each other in their 40s. Wow. Kelly is a city boy from Chicago, and Natasha is a country girl from Chilhowee, Virginia. And together, they have pushed through some tough times to get to where they are now. Today, they are blessed to be happily married, amen, again, amen. Hallelujah, with three children. One grandchild, their oldest son, Aaron, is married to Erica, and they have a son, Omari. And then their oldest daughter, Alexis, recently married as well. She's married to Duncan. And then they have a youngest baby girl, Alove. So they feel God has called them to help other marriages heal by sharing their story through their podcast, Finally Won, through their books, their courses, their coaching programs, and speaking events. So let's give it up for Kelly and Natasha Cole. We're so excited to have y'all this evening. Yes.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, you said happily married again. No, we're only, this is our first time being happily married.
First time, no,
we were not happy. Neither one of us. We were not happy.
You were like, we weren't married before, but you weren't happily married.
No, we were not happily married.
Wow.
It was hell.
That will preach. That will preach.
Wait, how real can we be on this podcast?
Real.
Okay, cool. I know this is one of them proper, you know, we got to be okay, all right, cool. But no, it was terrible.
Wow. Y'all see what the show about to be. We about to get in it, so I'm excited.
I'm so excited.
Before we dive in, we're going to talk what had happened was. And really, what had happened was is an opportunity for us to share with the BE community how we may be introduced or acquainted to one another, or how you all may be familiar with us, what have you. So I will kick it off. And we were talking a little bit offline about this. You may notice some names in there when we were reading the bio, but Kelly and Natasha's oldest son is Christian recording artist Aaron Cole. Okay. Aaron Cole is like phenomenal. Triple threat, quadruple threat, whatever you want to call him. But I personally call him like, you know, a Christian Drake. He's dope to me. Like he sings, he raps, he dances, performance, all of that. And so, Kelly, are you still his manager or where are you?
I'm his real manager now. Yep. I'm not his day to day.
Okay, yep. I thought you said his real manager. Like
no, road. No, he has a day manager, and I'm on the road with him. So
wow, yeah. Aaron got a team, y'all. In case you ain't noticed, okay. Yeah. So, but correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, you trained your son up in this industry and did a phenomenal job at it. Might I add? Like I know my husband and I, we do a lot of like artist development, and I am always impressed every time I hear you talk about just the steps that you took to really prepare your son for the industry. And it shows, I mean, his quality of content, professionalism, you know, stage presence, all of it, like he is the full package. And so I personally attribute a lot of that to you just based on just the stories that you've shared. You know, I know you've been on Trackstar several times. And so I'm just super, super, excited to have you, but it's been amazing watching the journey yeah. of, you know, of your son over the years. So I just wanted to connect those dots because that's how I was introduced to you and am super excited to just hear the full story about the family unit because I knew y'all were teenage parents. You know, I think I knew that y'all had separated, but literally when I don't know what I was scrolling through, maybe you were promoting your book. I was like, wait, oh no, your podcast. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, we got to talk to them because I knew there was a story here. So just excited to have y'all in here about this journey. So that's what had happened was for me.
That was it.
Yes.
Oh, do we need to share what had happened was?
Yeah, you can share.
No. I'm just making sure it's y'all show. Go ahead.
I have never met you in person, but I've watched Trackstars and I know you've been on Trackstars before. I listen to Aaron Cole. He's on my playlist. I was just telling Maya before the show, like my top two favorite now are Off My Back and Choose You. So those are my two like top favorite ones that are on my playlist. But yeah,
good stuff. It was a dream. Like when me and Aaron, probably when he signed with Truth, when he was like 15, he started watching Trackstars. It was a dream to be on Trackstars. Mm-hmm. Like most people don't know that. And his very first Flavor Fest, and he got on Trackstars, we just felt like we made it. So just want y'all to know, Trackstars, we love Trackstars. Yes. We love y'all husbands. We love all of the crew. So we family.
I love it. Yeah. I feel like he nephew. So yeah. Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, we're going to dive on into how it started. So take it away, Toya.
Yes. And we're so excited to dive in a little bit deeper into your journey. So first, can you just tell us a little bit about how you two met?
Tell them how we met.
Well, at first I was dating Kelly's friend. Kelly was dating my friend. Then we went on a church trip together and he got on the bus and he had on this red trying to be like LL Cool J. And I looked at her, I was like, dang. She was like, yeah, that's mine. I was like, oh, okay. So then I'll let you take it from there.
No, keep telling what happened. Don't get shy now.
I want to hear Natasha's version. And then
right. She want to hear your version. Kelly, what happened after that?
And then Kelly, you can share your version.
After that, I lost all interest in his friend. Like, I didn't want nothing really to do with him. I was just like, oh. And she was still trying to holler at him. So they was talking for a minute. And then she had got another side piece. And she started talking to him. So I was like, well, you know, I had to tell him, like, she ain't doing you right. She ain't with you. So then we had started becoming friends and we started talking.
Yeah, she sabotaged. She said it was a setup. It was a setup.
I liked what I saw.
She straight told me. She was like, yeah, she got this other dude. His name Earl.
Oh, wow. Yep. We put names out.
And so the funniest thing happened in that whole story was me and my friend ended up going to a wedding that they were at, her and her friend. And we come a little late, so we're sitting in the back. Next thing we know, this dude walks in, start talking to him. Dude, cool. We got basketball in common, football. It's Earl. Me and Earl are sitting at the back of the church waiting for the same person.
Oh, no.
And they look back and they see us. You could have saw that how big their eyes got. And so after that, I was like, girl, I don't want nothing to do with you. Like, you can have Earl. And then so Tasha made her way in asking her, can she date me?
Yes, I did ask. I was like,
oh. But she was a mess. I feel bad. I talk about this in the book. I broke all guy code because my friend, he really liked her. She didn't like him, but he really liked her. And our relationship ain't been the same since. Like, But he was a good dude. He was loyal to me, but I broke all guy code because I was broken. I don't know. We ain't gotta get deep, we getting deep already. I was literally broken. I was a kid who never got attention until like my junior year of high school. And then I became a football star, lost all this weight, got muscles, became the king of the school, and was full of myself. So it was at the time where, so like nothing was off limits, you know, just like a junkie, just like a person who gets fame and they get full of themselves. That's how I was my junior and senior year because of the brokenness.
Wow. Whew. Well, you didn't waste no time. You did jump into the deep end. Thank you. Thank you for breaking the ice. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So that's how we met. And we became friends after that. Eventually, we started dating. Her and her cousin would come see me and my friend. And that's kind of how we got into it. So I don't want to go deeper till y'all ask a question.
I got you. You can take us deeper, but this is funny. She's got it.
Yeah.
She swooped up in there and got her man.
Showed in.
Swooped up in there.
And still got him.
Yeah.
Hey,
all right, girl.
I knew in the beginning when we got married and stuff, she wished she hadn't have swooped in. She wished she would have left me alone. I was a mess.
Wow.
I was a mess. And she didn't realize it till she got in it.
Yeah.
And Aaron was already here. But yeah, it was all God's time and it was all God's doing.
Yeah.
Looking back now, though, I realize like we were meant to be together. And the enemy blinded me from the beginning because of what we would become now.
Yeah.
Not knowing that all those things will work together for the good.
Come on.
We wouldn't be on, you know, becoming podcast if we hadn't went through what we went through. So, so I'm blessed. And I'm glad that God loves me so much that he didn't let me destroy this. Because this is amazing. Like, happily married. You said happily married again. No, we are finally happy. This is the first time us being happy.
Right.
We just celebrated our 1 year anniversary. And by far, in my 46 years, the best year of my life so far. And I'm saying that. She'll tell you the truth.
Amazing. Like, night and day from the first marriage. Like, oh my gosh. He sees me. He takes care of me. Like, it's awesome. And I never got that before.
Oh, that's beautiful. With the same person. It's night and day with the same person, though. So we, So let's, and I feel like y'all, this is going to be a tutorial as far as like do's and don'ts, lessons learned, because, you know, hindsight is definitely 2020.
Right.
So take us to like, okay, you said Aaron was born. Was it before you all got married? It's like, what led to you all getting married the first time? Take us to those circumstances.
You want to tell how Aaron came about, and then I'll tell how we ended up married.
Well, everybody knows how Aaron came about.
Not like that.
But yeah, I was 16, lost my virginity to him. one day the condom broke. He went to my cousin telling her, hey, she's pregnant. Y'all going to be the godparents. And I'm like, what?
Pause before that. This is before anything happened. The condom, I just knew she was pregnant. I don't know how I just knew she was pregnant, and we told her cousins, like, y'all gonna be godparents. Mm. And I didn't see her no more after that day for 3 months. I went away to play college football. And tell them what happened when I came back.
Yeah, I had denied it. I was like, missed period and everything, but I denied it. I was like, I am not pregnant. No, can't be. And he went away to college, came back. He saw me, and he was like, you pregnant. My stomach was hard, everything. You pregnant. So finally I went, and all this time I never had told my mother anything. So I hid it. I was probably 5 months before I went to the doctor. But I had hid it. And when he came back, he said, yeah, you're pregnant. And I still kept saying, no, no, no. So finally my cousins, they got me a pregnancy test. And as soon as I peed on it, it was showing that I was pregnant. And I called him. I was like, yeah. Then you go from there.
Just imagine you get a phone call. Somebody just says, yeah. And you know what they're talking about. I lost it. I cussed her out. I was like, you're not keeping that baby.
Oh, no.
What are you talking about? We just, you know, for real. Like,
just
this all
and hung up.
This is all BC. Click, hang up. Like she wow. said, I ain't had time for no kid. I was like, you're not keeping this kid. I was in my drop top convertible. I was trying to be LL Cool J. Yes. I was not trying to raise a kid. And literally, we started making calls to abort Aaron. If you listen to his music, he was supposed to be aborted. And she was too far along to get an abortion. And we gave birth to a superstar. But that's all God. Like I said, our story was all orchestrated by God. Because had I been here, just think about, like, had I not went to school, find out immediately that she was pregnant, we would have probably been able to go through with the abortion.
Yeah.
And thank God we didn't. We wasn't able to. So he was born way before we got married. Aaron was one before we got married.
Okay.
Within that time of her having the baby is when I finally committed to her. I watched Aaron be born, got rid of my roster, and I said, I'm going to be a family man. Y'all said we could be real. This is all.
We're here. I love it. We're here.
I was a teenage, like, knucklehead. Like, literally, I was not saved. And I watched Aaron be born. Went to my car. I cried out loud for an hour straight, like to the top of my lungs. I always tell people I went in that car a boy and I came out a man. Like, I got to take care of this kid. Committed to her. We was together till Aaron was one and we broke up. Wow. We broke up. Why did we break up? Because she said
my attitude.
She had a terrible attitude. She was spoiled. She was the only child. Her dad wasn't in her life. Her mom did everything for her to pacify her. So she wasn't used to nobody telling her nothing. So here I was controlling, telling her everything. So we just broke up. So I said, hey, I'm just going to work and I'm going to raise my son. I end up in this relationship with this older woman, and the relationship was actually good. It was actually a good relationship. She finds out about it. She starts stalking us around town. She would pull up. I would see Aaron be in the backseat crying, and she pulled off so I couldn't get him.
Mm.
So the decision to get married came from my childhood trauma of me and my sister. You know, our parents not being married and us going back and forth. So I said, hey, I want to raise my son. I'm going to marry her so I can raise my son. We didn't marry for love. I was still in love with the other lady. I was like, we getting married. So I broke up with that relationship. And to be honest, I resented her for leaving this relationship that I thought was perfect. Right. Mm. Here we are. We set a wedding date. We're getting married on Saturday. On Wednesday, I get a phone call. The young lady I left, she's pregnant.
Snap.
And I'm in love with her.
Wow. But you already married.
Not married. We get married on Saturday. This is Wednesday before.
Oh, 3 days.
Wednesday, 3 days. Right. Before you say
three I did. The Wednesday
yeah,
before.
I had no clue.
Yep. She had no clue. Nobody knew. I had nobody to talk to. My dad literally had just got saved. He was a babe in Christ. I had nobody to talk to. And I was like, okay, here is what I know. Aaron is already here. I got to raise him. I'll deal with that later.
Wow.
Yep.
So, okay. So do you have another child? That's like,
that's our oldest child. That's our oldest daughter. I mean, Alexis.
That's Alexis.
That's Alexis. Yep,
wow. Yep. Okay. 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 So y'all get married. How did life change after marriage? Clearly you were married under duress.
Yes.
But how did life change once it was official?
Crazy. But that, I think the following Saturday is when he told me that she was pregnant and all that. So I just had mixed emotions going on because I had no clue. I went ahead and got married, and like where I come from, small town, like I grew up with my grandparents and my mama being there in the household, but they just showed me that divorce was not an option. Like, no. You got married, you're in this to stay. So that's all I had going through my mind. I'm like, I have to stay in this. I have to be there and be that wife. I can't get divorced. God does not like divorce. So like I stuck it out like the whole time, like going through all of this back and forth, him hiding and trying to message her and everything, talking to her, getting gifts from her. Like it, I had all kinds of emotions going through.
It was bad. Yeah. You didn't tell him you wanted to pay me back.
Oh yeah. I told him like, I didn't tell him, I told his sister, I said, payback's a B.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, don't be cussing on becoming E.
Payback is a B, I'm getting him. But I never had it in me to like go out and be that wild child or whatever. But I really wanted to get him back because that was just.
Yeah. It was terrible. Yeah, our first marriage was full of me. I was selfish. Last Sunday we shared for the first time our testimony in a church setting, right? And I shared with them, I was in our first marriage trying to reap from a garden that I wasn't planting nor watering. Wow. Come on, Eva. We can pause right there.
No, all I can do is shake my head because I'm just like, wow.
I wanted all of these things from her. I wanted her to cook like my mama because I miss my mama. I had mother issues and I had all of these wounds, these brokenness. And that's how my mom showed her love, by cooking. I'd be like, you need to be cooking. You need to do this. And she'd be like, what you want me to cook? I was like, I don't care. I'm like, I don't care. Just cook. So that's what my mama did. So all of these things I was trying to pull out of her. But I was not watering her with the word. I was not spending time with her. I was not praying with her. I wasn't even nice to her. I wasn't patient to her. I wasn't nothing. So nothing she could do right. She wasn't that other woman. And she wasn't this woman. All of these women I was trying to put together like Voltron and make them my mother.
My Lord.
So this one could cook. This one was nurturing. This one was pretty. This one had a little ratchetness. This one had a little bit of this. I was trying to form my mother. Now, these revelations I didn't get until I healed. Till I got rebaptized, till I got in therapy, till I started realizing what the issues were. So you said the same person? No, I'm in the same body, but I'm not the same person. That old man has died. That old man has passed away. Yeah. All things have become new. She could tell you, I don't even look at her the same.
That's the truth.
I'm not even the same person.
Wow.
So, but I had to go through a healing. I had to go through a wilderness. I had to go through a part where I had to get delivered. Now, we can get all the way real. I developed a sex addiction. I was molested by a female family member. Developed a sex addiction. So I was dealing with that, feeling uncovered by my parents, feeling dirty, feeling nasty, feeling all of these things.
Yeah.
And I had to get delivered. So right before we got back on track, me trying to get her back, that flesh had to die and had to get delivered. The hardest 7 months of my life, when they talk about how junkies go through withdrawals of alcohol and addiction, I was talking to my pastor on the phone. He called me just to check on me. And I'm going off telling him what she won't do. She won't even talk to me. She didn't want nothing to do with me. And he just literally told me, shut up. I'm getting ready to pray. Because I wanted my family back, right? But that flesh didn't want to die. I wanted it my way. He said, God's going to do it, but you're not going to like how he does it. And what he meant was, you're not going to like what your flesh is about to go through, because your flesh has to die in order for your family to live.
Preach.
So he started praying and the yoke broke. I start crying on the phone. And next thing I know, I'm crying. I'm telling the Lord, yes. And I rededicated my life and I said, I got to get rebaptized. And I called her and I said, hey, will you just be my friend? That's all I'm asking from you. I'm not going to try to sleep with you. I've made a covenant with the Lord. I'm not sleeping with another woman until I enter a marriage covenant. Will you just be my friend? And that was the turning point.
Okay, wait now. I need you to rewind just a minute. Okay. This was like how long ago? Because y'all had already divorced when this happened, right?
Yeah. We were divorced. Yeah, we go back. We were divorced 6 years.
Wow.
So
y'all endured a lot for how long? Like your first marriage.
We were married 18 years.
That's amazing.
And divorced six. And none of we had moments. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. I've never been happy, but we've had moments of happiness.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's, you know, we have moments of happiness, but those 18 years was terrible.
Yeah.
And I take full responsibility. It was never her. I was listening to Miles Monroe today and how he talked about God will never give you a complete woman, right? Mm-hmm. Or the woman. You have to cultivate. He literally gave me a blank slate. She would have been anything I wanted her to be. And I didn't notice until I was out there for those 6 years in the wilderness that she's the only woman that loved me for me. She never complained about anything, never wanted anything. All she wanted me was to love her. Like, me and this woman slept on the floor on mattresses together. And here I am. I'm out here looking for what the Lord has already given me.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ben.
You said everything.
No, I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, did you all get saved while you were married the first time? Was it after? Mm-hmm. Like, take me on your spiritual journey so we can talk about how you kind of came back together.
I grew up in the church. I've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost from small. Like, I've always been saved. Now, I did go out and do some things I wasn't supposed to or what.
Getting pregnant. Right.
But I was always raised in the church. Like, even so far, my mother wanted me to go before the church and ask for forgiveness because I had done what I'd done. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't get saved. We were a year in our first year of marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had separated for the third time in the first year.
Wow.
She had already moved back in with her grandmother. And I had a meeting with the lawyer to get the divorce started on Monday. I get invited to a Christian hip hop concert. Never heard of it. The group was Ricky Being Forgiven. They came to our area. My friend kept bugging me, yo, you need to come to this concert. So I was like, all right, I'll go. I go to the concert, huge, huge building, probably a 2,000 seater, 10 people in there. I end up getting saved.
Wow.
At a Christian hip hop concert. And I call her, I said, hey, I got saved. Would you like to come home and try to work this out? And that was our first year of marriage. And so we went another 18 years. And I got saved. I always tell people this, I got saved, but I didn't get delivered.
Come on.
I didn't get set free. So I was in church all of those years, serving, teaching Sunday school, all of that, broken, bound, depressed, unhealed, feeling dirty. Like, the enemy just had his way with my mind and had me in shackles in the building.
Yeah.
Going to the pastor, getting counseling, and it not helping, because one day it'll be something and then the next day it'd be something else. I would go and say, hey, pastor, I can't do this no more. This marriage is killing me. He'd be like, you know what? You're right. You can't be unequally yoked. You can't pull her. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm getting excited. I can move on next day. You ain't even give your marriage a chance. I'm like, what? So it was a mess. So that's how we both came to the Lord. I actually got saved, but I did not get delivered. I didn't get set free.
Wow. Whew. I think you all have already kind of started walking us through your reconciliation. But I wanted you to dive in a little bit deeper in what led you all after the six years of being separated. Like, what led you to really reconcile and to make that step to remarry?
Yeah, she didn't want
to. I didn't want nothing to do with him.
She didn't want nothing to do with me. Those 6 years, I was in the tomb like Lazarus. And just like Lazarus' sister, they said in one version of the Bible, it says she protested. She protested. She said, Lord, I do not want that dead, stinking man. He stinks.
I did.
And I did. I was stinking. It was me wanting her, because I had been out there for 6 years getting my butt kicked. That's the PG version. Getting hurt and hurting people. And losing my mom a couple of years ago was when I actually hit rock bottom. And that grief, when that grief took over, I was headed to drive the car off the cliff. And she called me and begged me to come talk to her. And I was like, I'm not coming to talk to you. She begged me. She talked me off the cliff because I had lost my mom. I lost her. I lost a friendship that I had with a dude I considered my brother for 10 years. He stole close to $15,000 from me. Like, all of this happened at one time, and I just felt unloved. I felt it was over. Like, that grief took me out, and I was so far away from God. I wasn't serving anymore, nothing. So I was just like, yo, it's over. And she talked me off the cliff. Yep. So that's what led to it. Because before that happened, I had been begging her to give me a chance, but she didn't want nothing to do with me. And rightfully so, because my heart was still hard. My heart was still dark. I hadn't changed. So,
yeah. Natasha, what changed for you to allow him to come back?
That's good.
Nothing but the Lord. So in that 6 years, I was trying to find myself. I was trying to heal. I was trying to see what was out there for me. I was going out and I was trying to choose somebody for me, but it never did work. But when he came to me, I mean, we would still talk on the phone every once in a while, but I was just like, I'm done with him. I seen what he was doing out there. He was with this, with that, like he didn't really care. So he would call. And then that one day when he called and was like, I'm done with this, tell my kids, da 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 da. That's when I was like, wait a minute. So I talked him off of that. And then I was just, he tried, like, after that, after we got him calmed down and everything, we had a meeting with the kids and, you know, I just told him, I was like, well, we can be friends, after that. And then he started pressuring me. The anxiety started coming. I was like, stop, I can't do this. Like, anxiety, it was so bad that I didn't want to pray. I'm like, I'm not praying for that. Like, leave me alone. You are done. You did what you did. Go on out. Like, and then I guess we just started talking and he kept wanting to read scriptures and stuff. And I finally broke in and we became friends and read the scriptures. But then he was like, I want to get married. I want my, how did you say it? I want my
favor back.
So yeah. I told him, I was like, no. I was like, I have to hear a word from God, like, before I can do anything. So yeah. It took me a minute, like, because we went to separate churches. He had rededicated himself and I was still going to my church.
Yeah.
And then one day I was just sitting there after I told God, I was like, you better be clear and sit down beside me and tell me something. I need to hear the Holy Ghost. So I was sitting in one service and my pastor, it was like he was talking to me and nobody else was in the church. And he was just like, you have to go through it to be completed. And I started, I'm like, oh, and he was like, you have to believe it, receive it. And I was like, oh, okay, God, I hear you. And he said more to me. And then I got out of church and he had put a post on Facebook and I was like, yes, babe. And I got in the car with him after he picked me up and, I guess you can go from there.
Yeah. No, but I knew I had to play the long game. Like I said, when I called her and said, hey, will you just be my friend? Sex is off the table. I'm not going to be trying to sleep with you. I made a covenant. Will you just be my friend? That was the first step. She agreed to be my friend. Amen. And then I asked her, hey, will you just start praying with me at night before we go to sleep? We started doing that. Then I said, hey, will you do this devotion with me? We start doing devotions. And I knew she had to start hearing my voice to order to start watering her. And she start hearing the transformation and start feeling the transformation. And like she said, during that period, as I dug deeper into the word and realized that my favor was connected to her, I wanted my favor back. So I began to apply pressure on her, like, yo, don't you see this, trying to show her in the word? And she was like, unless I hear from God, she was like, I'm not moving. She was like, and I got to hear it clearly. And so I would wear her out with text messages and scriptures and praying. I'm like, Lord, like, let her, you know, I was wearing her out. And one day I heard the Holy Spirit clearly when she said, listen, stop. You're getting anxiety. And that day I stopped and I said, Lord, every time I want to text her, I'm going to talk to you.
Wow.
And I stopped texting her and I start talking to him. And I say, Lord, show her my heart. Give her that word she needs to hear, but show her my heart. Show her how much, show her how much I love her. Show her how much I love you. Show her how much I changed. And I would be praying for hope. And one day I was praying for hope. And I was like, Lord, why won't she give me any hope? Because she wasn't giving me anything. And he said, son, he said, be patient. He said, I know you feel guilty about the 6 years being away from me and her still being in church. But listen, he said, you're my son, just like that's my daughter. So not only am I preparing you for her, I'm preparing her for the new you. And that gave me peace. So she was going through hearing from the Lord. I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord. And I got this commitment. And I said this Sunday, the more I ran after the Lord and she began to see my heart, she tried to get me to break my covenant. She wanted me. She was all over me. Hey,
let me just say, ain't nothing like a man of God. A man after God's own heart. Look, I'm just saying. I always tell people, you know, Maya, who was, even when Maya was saved, she wanted a godly man to do ungodly things with, honestly and truthfully. Yes. Like, that is super attractive. But God is like, no, you're going to chase after me just like he chasing after me. So yeah. I get it.
It was tough for her. And it was tough because, like you said, the deeper we got into the word and the closer we got to him, the closer we came to each other. And while she was waiting, I had already brought the ring and everything. So by the time she got the word, I already knew when I was going to propose and all of that. So wow. I proposed in December. Did you get the word in December, right? It was, yes, New Year's Eve. Right before, I proposed in January. We got married in February. And we just celebrated our 1 year, best year of my life.
That's amazing. Yeah. What was that length of time from will you be my friend to you all saying I do?
7 months.
Wow. The number of completion.
The hardest 7 months of my life. But I was so committed though. And I said, Lord, if it's not her, which I believe is her, I'm still going to keep my covenant to you. I will not lay with another woman until I'm into a covenant. So I was committed. I was locked in. And she saw it too. She saw it. I would write her letters and stuff and just expressing when I felt like expressing my heart to her, write her letters. She was acting like they weren't doing nothing. She wasn't giving me any hope.
I felt it, but I couldn't show it.
I was going to say, she was feeling you, but you know, she was holding on to the Lord, holding on to Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Exactly.
And I got the courage to ask her to go on a date with me, and we went on a date, and it was beautiful. We got to really, really court and date and fall in love, like for real this time. So
that's beautiful.
I'm curious, how did your children respond to all the transition from first marriage to divorce? Yeah. Separation and remarriage, how did they all respond?
Oh, my youngest, she was like my best friend. Me and her was like this, and through the divorce, she didn't want nothing to do with him. She hated his guts. Like, she wouldn't call him, and then she wanted to do everything separate. Like, if she wanted to do something with me, she did it with me, and that we couldn't go together and do something. She was like, no. She was like, I'll go over dad's or whatever, but no. The other kids were,
it was a roller coaster for them.
Yeah, because Aaron, he wasn't here, like, but he would always call and he's like, you check on my mama, you do this. But I didn't really see his side because you were the one with him most of the time.
He tried to pretend like it didn't affect him as much, but if you listen to his music, it's all in his music.
Yep.
My oldest daughter, me and her relate the most. Because I was her, meaning my dad was never married to my mom. He married my other sibling's mom, right? So I always grew up wondering why my mom wasn't good enough. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
And so I could kind of relate to her more. So she, every time we were together, she felt like a part of her was missing. And there's guilt attached to that too, because it's like, I'm having this amazing time with my dad and my mom is over here. And so I kind of understood her. So it was rough for all three. My biggest thing too was I knew that the divorce would affect them. I just didn't know how much, you know, it took a toll. We're still healing and recovering from that divorce and everything we went through in the 6 years, but they're all changing because they see how happy their mom is and how well I'm taking care of her. And you can't deny that. At the end of the day, I'm loving her properly. They're seeing me loving her. They're seeing us in a way they've never seen us before. And it's just a beautiful thing. So that's what heals. The love heals and the real love, you know, and us praying for them and doing what we do. So yeah, we're still healing from that.
Yeah, it's a process. But I mean, like you said, you loving your wife well, their mother well, is helping in that healing. So that's beautiful. Sure. I want to ask about this ministry component, because I feel like, and I mean, of course, I mean, your testimony is, you know, ministers to others in and of itself. But I mean, y'all are in it. You've launched a podcast. Yeah. You dropped a book on Valentine's Day. So tell us a little bit about that journey and when you all started to realize, hey, like, our testimony isn't just for us, it's for other people. And, you know, and even I was saying, Natasha, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you're, you know, you've kind of been supportive behind the scenes for, you know, the majority of like, you know, definitely during your first marriage. But like, what has that process been like coming to the forefront more as well? So if y'all could share a little bit about just this journey that y'all have been on ministering through your podcast and your book.
Scary for her. Scary for her. But scary. I didn't want to do it. Like, I didn't want to write a book. I didn't want to share this story because I didn't want to monetize it. So all of the books, all of the things, like owning a book publishing company and being in marketing, being an entrepreneur, like, I just wanted my family back. Right. Yeah. So that wasn't my thought. But when I sat with my pastor, he was like, God's going to do it. You're not going to like how he does it. And he says, this is going to be an amazing book. And I was like, I don't want to hear nothing about no book. Like, I want my family back. Like, bro, I'm losing. Like, help me. What are you talking about, a book? He's like, you're not listening. This is going to be an amazing book. Probably a week later, the original guy who led me to Christ, the Christian rapper, he comes to our town to preach a revival. I go see him and I'm like, bro, will you just pray with me? You know, I want my family back. And he said, bro, God's going to do it. It's not over. He said, it's going to be a dope book, bro. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about no book. He comes home. She says, guess what Pastor told me? What Pastor tell you?
He told me that I was going to write. I didn't know if it was singing, writing my own songs or writing, but he told me, he was playing and was like, you're going to write. And I'm like, what? I'm not a writer. Like, I just sing for the Lord. That's all I do. And yeah, he had came to me and told me that. So
I didn't even mention the other two. That was the third time. And I said, I guess I got to tell you, they keep saying we're going to have to write this book. And I was like, we'll figure it out when it's time. But we did not want to do it because I just wanted my family back. I didn't want to monetize our story. But this is when I knew it was the Lord, because like you said, she likes the background. When I say we got to write this book and I say, you know what comes with writing a book? She was like, yeah, I know. She said, I think we need to do it. And I was like, I thought she would shut it down.
Because I'm not the one that talks. Like, I'm like, you go ahead. I'll be behind you. I got your back. But yeah. But when he told me, I knew, when the pastor told me, I knew we had to do something. And like, I praise God because it has blessed so many just in a couple of days, like the testimonies and how we're helping people. Like, they're coming to us like, hey, can you pray for our marriage, like, we're struggling in this. And I'm like, oh, wow, God, I hear you.
Yeah. In our DMs, we're getting emails, yes. We're getting comments, we're getting like, and that's how we know it's God. And I always say, this is the easiest thing I have ever done, because wow. Everything I've done up to this point has been my gifts and my talents, right? This has given me purpose, which has given her purpose, right? Mm. She's always been on a journey of finding her purpose, and us coming together and finally becoming one has yeah. given her purpose, and it's helping people. So we were blown away Sunday with the support, like I said, yes. and the testimonies, young, old, in between. It's all God. So we're grateful. We just want to help.
Even the older saints coming to me, my testimony is just like yours. I went through the same thing. You in the church, you've never like shared this, the older lady, like, yeah. But yeah, it's a blessing.
So we're grateful.
It's a powerful testimony of yeah. reconciliation.
Yes.
Powerful testimony. And even you all sharing on becoming Eva, it's going to help other people as well as yes. this episode.
Yes, so thanks for
sharing. Yeah, it can happen. You know, you just got to. Gotta give up, you know.
Mm.
I said I wanted my family back, but this flesh didn't want to die. Mm. I wanted my family back, but I still wanted the possibility of still getting some on the side or her to sleep. No, I'm just keeping it real.
No, I'm saying I'm free now,
so I can talk about it. Like she knows I'm free now, and I knew my flesh did not want to die, which is what she knew. She knew I wasn't right. That's what she's like. I don't want nothing to do with it. Yeah, I'm not praying about it.
Like mm-hmm. I've seen how you've gone and you maneuvered through things. No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
She knew I wasn't right. So I had my flesh literally had to die. And then I knew the next step was in order for us to get back to a place of Eden. Mm-hmm. I knew I had to get naked before God and I had to get naked before her.
Mm.
Like completely. So yeah. We got completely naked, and that's how we became one and you know, gained true intimacy, right? Yeah. Which is a scary place that people don't talk about.
Yeah, because you're vulnerable.
Oh my right. God. She can really hurt me now.
Yep.
There's no defense. I'm naked. She can hurt me, but my constant prayer is, Lord, I trust you.
Mm.
If she loses her mind, yep. I know you got me.
Kelly, that's some real stuff right there. Because I know plenty of men, even Christian men, who are like, I don't know. Women, they can hurt yeah. me if they know the right, if they know too much, yeah. they know how to use it. And I, yeah. as a woman, I'm going to be honest, we can manipulate. We know how and when to hurt. But at the same time,
no.
you got to trust God. You got to trust God. We got to trust God. You know, that mutual submission, that humility, all of that's real. Yeah. So
sure.
It's good.
She loves me for me.
Mm.
That's something that can't be duplicated. Yeah. You know, she genuinely, I know she loves me for me. That's not nothing she wants other than for me to love her. And it don't get no purer than that. Because I was out there with the chicks who $40 me to death. Right?
Wait. $40 you to death. What is that? I need to know. I don't
they know. Need $40 for food. They need
$40 for this, $40 for that.
$40 for an Uber. They need $40 for Uber Eats. They track fell out. They need. $40 me to death, and I'm not exaggerating. And she knows it because guess what? In those 6 years we were divorced, we never separated our bank account.
Oh, so
she
saw
she had access to my business accounts, everything. She never took a dime. She never did anything. She was like, oh, you took that chick to Burger King. Oh, you took that chick to Root Crit. She would do one of those numbers, but she never was vindictive. And like I said, this woman loved me for me. Like she knows everything. And she's never used anything that I've shared with her. She's never used it against me. She's never done anything. Like she said, she wanted to pay me back, but it ain't in her. Mm-hmm. She's always been loyal. She's always been solid. She's always been, you know, a rock. And to love her properly. The best compliment that I get now is how amazing my wife looks and how happy she is and how she's glowing and how we went to the mall the other day. Every two steps, somebody was either complimenting both of us or complimenting her and telling her she's glowing.
People
and,
I didn't know. I'm like, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
As a man of God, that's the best compliment you can get. Cause I just wrote it down today. Like you're looking at your wife is a reflection of how you feel about yourself. So if you look at her and you don't like what you see, you don't like yourself. So you're not doing something. There's something wrong in you.
My Lord. Preach that, Kelly. Preach that.
I'm trying.
If you could go back in time in your earlier years, what advice would you give early Kelly Cole and early Natasha? What kind of advice would you give them?
Ladies first. What advice would you give your younger self?
Heal and know your worth. That's what I would say. Cause I did not know my worth. Like if I knew what I was and what I meant, like, I don't think we would have ever went through it, but I praise God that we did, but know your worth and heal. Like that's the main important. That's what I could tell somebody. Cause I didn't know myself. Like I didn't know my value. So.
Yeah. Definitely. I would say get help. That's the first thing, because it took all of these years. I had to wait till I started doing therapy in my early 40s. But far as like putting it together and surrendering my heart to Christ and killing this flesh and going through a period of deliverance, that took till I was, 45, you know, where I went through a period of deliverance, like get help. Get delivered, get on that altar, pray, fast, and just stop. Stop what you're doing. You know what you're doing, right? That doesn't line up with the Lord's word. And if you know that ain't your wife, leave that woman alone. Period. If you know that ain't your wife, leave that woman alone. That's what I would tell my younger self, because there's many women that I've hurt that I had to forgive myself for. Because I was hurt. They say hurt people, broken people break people. And because I was broken, even though, you know, people having good intentions and trying to pick me up, because there was pieces of me that was broken. Guess what? As they were trying to pick me up, I was cutting them.
Wow.
Here she was reaching down to pick me up and just constantly trying. I'm cutting her. Because I'm so broken. There was no part of me that she could pick up or grab onto, and she's cut without cutting herself. So heal, do the work, get help, get delivered, and just take your time. You know, don't be in a rush to do nothing. Don't be in a rush to do everything, you know. Do the hard stuff now so your life will be easier. But if you do everything easier, guess what? Your life gonna be a lot harder. I didn't come here to preach this.
But you're preaching, brother. But you're preaching. That's some good stuff. Like, okay. Clearly, y'all see we could be here a whole nother hour, because even just that salvation versus deliverance piece is real. So thank you for breaking that down. Do y'all have anything else you want to share before we close out? Any other words of wisdom? Or first of all, and then two, let us know how people can support you, because we want to make sure we're putting your information out there too. So first of all, any final words of wisdom? And then if not,
Final words of wisdom. What if there's a wife out there that's listened to this, who's maybe in the position that you were in the first marriage, what would you tell her? What piece of wisdom would you give her?
Why you do that?
Pray.
That was my best thing, was to pray on it, like hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Okay, word of wisdom. I gotta read this.
Yeah, he's looking up something to read.
Because I always write stuff down. And this is the one that pops up. I shared this Sunday when we were doing our first thing. When my pastor was trying to, he begged me not to get a divorce. And he would say, God hates divorce. And I'd be like, God hate everything we doing. Ain't nothing we doing that God. I was that type of hard-headed and smart, right? But here's what I learned as I've dug deeper. Yes, God hates divorce, but guess what? The devil hates marriage. When you sign up, when you get married, you're not getting a license to have sex. Guess what you're signing up for? War.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to war. Right? Our scripture, I'm going to leave with this. Our scripture we stand by is Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated.
Mm.
Right? But two can stand back to back and conquer. That's why the enemy hates marriage, because Amen. He know I can stand back to back with her and send him back to the pits of hell where he belongs.
Yep.
Now, when you add that third piece, it says three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. When we wrap his cord around us, guess what? We won't be broken.
Amen.
So, yeah, Amen. That's it. So how to support us.
Yes.
Subscribe to the podcast every Wednesday. Finally One Podcast every Wednesday at noon. We're on YouTube, everywhere you can listen to podcasts as well. So subscribe to our podcast. That's how you can support us. And then the book you can get at kellyandnatasha.com. Also, the course is there. And then if you want to go deeper, we do group and one-on-one coaching as well. So
is it Kelly, A-N-D, Natasha?
Yep.
.com?
.com. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Kellyandnatasha.com. Yep.
Perfect. So we'll share that also.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go get your book and go support the podcast. Love it. We have time for a rapid fire round of who's who.
Okay, we're going to play who's who. You guys are going to have to close your eyes and point to the person. I'm going to read the statement. Okay. All right. Who is the biggest spender?
Open your eyes. That's hilarious.
No.
I love it.
Wow. Why am I the biggest spender?
Because I don't really ask for nothing. You go out and
they didn't say ask. They say who spends, who's the biggest spender?
You. I don't do stuff.
Y'all have to agree to disagree. Okay, question number two. Close your eyes.
Okay. Who's the best cook?
One, two, three. Ooh, okay, eyes open. Okay. Very good. They're both pointing at Kelly. Okay, they agree on that one.
And then last one.
Close your eyes.
Yes. Who's more romantic?
One, two, three. Okay. Open your eyes.
All day. We already know.
Both agree that it's Kelly Cole, for those of you listening.
Yes.
Two out of one.
Yes.
I love that. Like, that's one of the things too. I don't want to go back, but that's one of the things. Like, can I help the women out real quick?
Go ahead. Give us a nugget. Go ahead.
Be careful.
Mm.
If it seems too good to be true, it usually is.
Talk that and talk.
Someone who was good. I was just talking to my sister about this today. A guy who's good at manipulating. He's good at manipulating.
Mm.
And our quest was to get you to lose your mind. We want you to question your God-given gift of discernment. I want you to feel like you're crazy. It ain't telling you what it's telling you. But deep down, you know, and hold on to that.
Yes.
Right? I did everything I could when I was out there. I just did what was in the movies. Because guess what? That's what women fed themselves.
Yep.
And then I was the man of their dreams. I was their soulmate. I was all of this stuff, all to just run them through the mud. Mm. So be careful, right? Yeah. And listen to, if you have a covering, listen to that covering.
Amen.
Last thing, if they don't have Jesus, they shouldn't have you.
Give us the playbook, Kelly. Tell it. Seriously. That's the Christian act like a lady, think like a man right there. Okay, y'all? Yep. That's what I'm saying. So, all right. Well, y'all, it's been an absolute pleasure. We definitely have to have y'all back. I mean, anytime. I feel like we just scratched the surface, but pray God's best over your ministry. So excited about the journey that God has y'all on, because so many people need to hear your story and learn from it. So thank y'all for being willing and obedient to share it. For real.
Thank y'all
for having us. Next time we're in the studio, we coming down.
Yes, you gotta come. Let us know when you're in the area. That's what's up.
Right across the hallway from Track, sir.
Yes. Hey, gotta make it happen.
A pink room.
I love it. All right. Well, that's it for us. Yes. Get your merch.
Get your merch at becomingeventoday.com. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today.
Yes. We'll see y'all next time.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.